Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today is part three of the Forgiveness and Fatherhood series, and I have my good friend Christopher Moore on the episode. Chris Moore was born by a river in a little tent, or Washington, D.C. He's a Christian, a dad, a fellow coach, a master of dad jokes, and a pop culture savant. When he's not embarrassing his two teenage sons, he likes to cook, read, and consume all things Star Wars and Star Trek. He comes today with the lessons that he learned about forgiveness while being a dad. And trust me, these lessons were so powerful. And for all the new and returning listeners, please leave us a 5-star written review. It helps the podcast get more reach. And we definitely appreciate that. And now, without further ado, here's the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I have a very special guest, my good friend and fellow coach, Chris Moore. Say what's up to the people.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? How you doing?
Yeah, man. I wanted to tell you this before the podcast. I really want to thank you for coming on and doing this. I really appreciate you, dude.
Hey.
Taking time and doing this.
Not a problem. So proud of everything you're doing, man. Oh, I forgot my theme music. Let me play my theme music.
Go ahead and get it.
Oh, I can't share it on here. Never mind. I'll play. That'll be my outro thing then.
Okay. All right. Let's see. So I just want to start off really quickly by telling everybody, Chris Moore, we met in a coaching course. And when I tell you, like, you know how you just meet someone, you talk with someone, you know, there's an instant connection. Like, that was it with him. Yeah, I mean, because not only, you know, as a fellow Black man in the course, come to find out we had the same love for like all things nerd, Star Wars, Star Trek, all of that.
Yes, sir.
So instantly I was just like, we're kindred spirits.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all don't realize Dwayne's my little brother.
Facts.
And yeah.
It's like, honestly, like, yeah, we just connected. I appreciate, love everything that this guy is doing. He's an amazing human being. That's just straight facts.
I'm still blown by the fact that we have this community of all these people and we've never, most of us have never met in person.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. I'm like, I don't even know how tall Dwayne is.
I'll tell you right now, you got me, probably got me beat in the height department. I'll just say that right now. You got me beat in that. Oh my gosh. How tall are you?
6'1".
Oh yeah, you got me. I'm 5'7"? Yeah, 5'7".
Hey, tall enough to hold Tobias. That's all you need, bro.
That is all I need, man. So I'm good with that. I love that boy. So I want to ask you this question. Have you ever met your hero or someone that you revere greatly?
I have. I've met, there's so many people. I mean, I'm one of those folks who I genuinely revel in other people's successes.
Yeah.
And like the stuff that really gets me, like Rudy, I was gone when I saw that, because it was like, this is somebody who, against all odds,
yeah,
he built his dream. So I mean, in that sense, like, there's so many people that are like everyday heroes to me. It was somebody, and I try to tell people that, and I'm like really random. I think that's another thing we kind of have in common, but I'm really random. Like, I'll just inbox people on social media and that I know and be like, hey, just want to let you know, like, I really appreciate what you did in 1997 and everything. You probably don't even realize you did it, but
yeah.
I appreciate it and everything. Yeah. And all that to say, I mean, my father was my first hero. My mentor, my mentor passed away at the beginning of this year.
Wow.
He was a hero to me. But I mean, anybody who is like living their dreams, that's heroic to me. I mean, yeah, even just persevering and moving forward, that's heroic to me.
Yeah, I agree. For me, I'm going to say I met my hero. I met Stan Lee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I met him at a Comic-Con in D.C. And I think this was right after, because he wasn't doing cons for a while. And then he started back. And I think D.C. was one of the first cons that he went to. And when I found out he was there, I said, I got to go immediately. I have to go. And when I went, I saw his line. If you know Comic-Cons, when you see celebrities, their lines are going to be long. Like Stan Lee was the longest line I have ever seen, period. And I'm like, dude, I'm not ever going to meet this guy. So what I said was, I'm going to get a photo with him. Because as long as I get a photo with him, I'll be okay, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking that line's going to be super long. Dude, it was only like 5 people in the line.
What?
That's what I said. And I'm like,
it's like finding out that you can get a Lexus for like $100.
Slim, I was like, thank you, Lord. I was like, I don't know what these bums tripping off of. Y'all want to get autographs? I want a picture with the man. So I got it in line. I actually cosplayed as Luke Cage, funny enough.
Oh, word.
So
the hoodie version or the yellow shirt version?
So he, in one rendition of a comic, he dressed up in a suit. So I dressed up as in a suit, a yellow suit. And my wife actually cosplayed as Misty Knight as a cop.
Oh, that's love right there.
Yeah, man. So, and the crazy part is, I know this veered off. We parked at the metro station to go to the Comic-Con. Yo, we ran into Donnie Simpson at the metro station. I lied to you not. Ran into Donnie Simpson. Those who don't know, Donnie Simpson is a DMV radio legend. That's got a picture with him as well. And that was nuts. So we get there to the con, and I stand in line to meet Stanley, and I get in there, and I see him. He's just sitting there, chilling. And I just walked up to him, took the picture, and it only took me 2 seconds. I just said, thank you for my childhood. And he said, you're welcome. That's all I needed.
Man,
I needed.
Did he call you Tony Stank?
Nah, man, that would have been dope if he did. I would have taken it. I was like, look, y'all call me Tony Stank throughout the whole Comic-Con. I don't care. And and I got that picture. And here's the thing. There's an old saying that says, never meet your heroes. That's heartbreaking to hear.
Yeah.
But Stan Lee wasn't like that. He was one of the most nicest guys ever. And I appreciated him. And it was before he passed away. And I was like, man, I got to meet a legend.
Yeah, that's awesome, bro. I mean, it's like, what, you know, the closest I came to that, I guess, in terms of like famous people is Dawn Robinson from En Vogue.
Really?
Responded to my tweet. And I was in heaven. You couldn't tell me nothing because I still have a crush on Dawn from En Vogue. Bro. Now that I'm almost single, I'm like, I'm about to be Steph Curry shooting my shot.
And Steph Curry got range, so you never know, bro.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Sure.
Yo, like, oh my goodness, Dawn from En Vogue. That's dope, man.
Yeah, and she accepted my friend request on Facebook. So I'm moving, man. I'm moving.
Okay, Chef Curry, I'm not mad at him. I am not mad at that at all. Oh my gosh, man. Like,
Chicken Curry. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. So, that's dope. Now I'm thinking about that tweet. I really am, because that's really dope. So, I'm glad to have you on because I wanted to talk to you in the series I'm doing about forgiveness and fatherhood. I wanted to ask you, what did you learn about forgiveness in becoming a dad or while being a dad, but in fatherhood in general? What did you learn about forgiveness? The floor is yours, sir.
All right. So it's multiple levels to this, as with anything, but I think in terms of forgiveness as a father, the first thing you need to do, and it's something that I'm still working on, it's something that I don't know if you ever master, is forgiving yourself. It was a situation where I'm pretty old school in a sense. I always wanted to do things in the proper order and all. But at the same time, I was 29 years old, almost 30, and I was like, okay, I'm all in. So my now wife, she was pregnant with our oldest son, Andrew. And I was like, yeah, well, I wanted to marry you anyway. Let's go ahead and do this. And I think that was always part of the thing for me. I think it was, I won't say a source of shame, but like I said, it's like I didn't want to be a statistic in that regard. I didn't want my kids to be a statistic in that regard and all that. So, I mean, I think as you think back on like all the choices of your life and all, you have to learn to forgive yourself in order to effectively parent. And that's one level. On another level, I think it's like it's a journey of discovery with your experience as growing up. It's like, I think the best thing that happens to you when you become a father is that your father, if you're blessed to have him, he goes from becoming your father to like your consigliere. And it's like a really good feeling and everything. It's like feeling that approval and all. Unfortunately, another part of the work that I have to do is also like not necessarily seeking people's approval, but I think your dad's approval is something that is natural for everybody to seek.
Yeah.
And I think you also realize too that your parents are people. And I know that sounds crazy. I know when I was younger, all these walls have been broken down with COVID and all, and there's way fewer barriers. But I know like when I was a kid, if I saw like, for instance, a teacher in the grocery store, it's like, wait, what are you doing here? You're a teacher.
I had the exact same thing.
Be like, it just blew your mind.
Like, wait a minute. Grocery shop. You do the same thing?
Right. I'm like, what are you doing here?
You exist outside of school? Like,
teachers didn't look like they did do now, but all that to say, man, it's like you think of your parents as like whatever you grow up with is your normal. And you don't really think of your parents like the sacrifices they make, how hard some of the stuff that you took for granted actually was and all, and just learning about what it is to be a parent from the lens of you as a human, it really puts some things into perspective as far as like forgiving things that you didn't understand when you were younger. Or even if you did understand them, you didn't have it's layers of understanding. And I think as you go along in the fatherhood journey, it's like you have to forgive those past traumas that you may have from your childhood and everything, and just stuff that you, decisions you didn't understand when you were a kid. It's like, okay, I get it now. I get it now.
Yeah, that's real. And you said something that was key. It was just like, you realize that our parents are people. Because when we're younger, we see our parents as superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, they know everything.
Right.
And the moment you see that they're human, it's like, sadly, at times, we take advantage of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but it's like you said just now, forgiving the things you didn't understand when you were younger. That's key.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, it was like, I was, not to toot my own horn, but I was a pretty good kid. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I didn't get in trouble, and it wasn't because I got away with murder. I just did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Although my siblings would probably disagree. they would say like I got stuff they didn't get, but I mean my parents were older by the time they had me, so I mean it's not my fault. But I mean, yeah, it's like when you're a kid though, I mean, you just so much of what you think of as, like I said, normal is based on what you've experienced. And you kind of realize how not normal a lot of stuff is and everything. And it's on one level, you try to you emulate it even subconsciously. On another level, sometimes you reject it. Like I know my mother, for instance, she has always been like the worst case scenario worry wart type. So, and it was the 80s, so still I'd go out and be gone all day and go 20 miles away and on my bike, and she ain't know. But still, that she for the especially for the 80s, she was a big worry wart. So it'd be like, okay, well, when you ride your bike, make sure you stay on the sidewalk so you don't get hit by a car and die.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes. It's like, so you have one of two reactions like that. You have my sister, God bless you, Donna, I love you so much, who kind of adapted that herself. And then you have me, who kind of took the opposite tact, and it was always like, how come nothing bothers Chris? And it's like, I don't think that it's that nothing bothers me. It just, I internalize it and everything. It's not better or worse. It just is.
Yeah. Mm. I like that one. So can you go a little bit deeper on when you mean you internalize it?
As I guess the biggest thing is like, I always say if I could give away a tenth of my self-awareness, the world would be a much better place, if only because I think I'm self-aware to a fault.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't like a bragging on myself. That's not it at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, yeah, I always say I can't dance. I don't know if I could dance or not. It's just my I'm just like assuming that everybody's looking at me, and I don't want people looking at me. So
I got you.
So that's my self-awareness. But it's also like, this something I've actually learned about myself in therapy is that I am somebody who tends to see things how I want them to be rather than how they are. And you say that and it sounds like it's a good thing, but it can be a bad thing as well.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to get too down or discouraged about stuff. But at the same time, it's like, it makes it harder to address what really is a area that I can grow in.
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to forgiving yourself, could you give me a story or example where you had to forgive yourself when it came to being a dad?
All right. So again, I grew up, I was born in the late 70s, grew up in the 80s. So this is all, I mean, I think child abuse was a thing by then, but it was still something where spanking was very prevalent. I remember very vividly in first grade in Maryland, how the principal came to get some of the kids out of my classroom in first grade and took them across the hall to the hallway to paddle them.
Right.
So, I mean, this is, like I said, this isn't that long ago. It's about 30 years at this point. But I know for me, it was always, okay, I'm not crazy. I have like confrontation issues too, but I was always taught that your kids need to think you're crazy. So there was one time it was really performative and everything. And there was one time that my sons were doing something and I ended up punching the wall in their room. And it was, like I said, it was strictly performative. It was like, I wasn't even that mad. But it was like, okay, well, I want them to think I'm crazy. And I've always regretted that, because it was like, you read about how that affects people and everything, and seeing that kind of stuff, and I was like, okay, well, that's not the kind of dad I am.
Right.
So I mean, it's something where I just kind of put that out of my mind and tried to fix the situation. I've never done it again. And I think also the whole thing, I mean, the key to success in anything, I think, is authenticity. Yes. And that wasn't authentically me anyway. So it was something that was very easy for me to not do again, because it probably wasn't effective, and it was something that could be harmful to my kids anyway.
Yeah. And I'm bringing back to the point where you say you were self-aware. I'm glad that you noticed that. And I'm glad that you picked up on that. Because there are some people who don't just say, well, mission accomplished. My kids are scared of me. But you said, there was a voice inside that said, this isn't right. And I'm glad you listened to that. I really am.
Yeah, me too. I mean...
That was God telling you. I'm going to just say it. That was God telling you, like, this isn't right here.
Yeah, this ain't you. And that's the thing. I mean, I think a big thing for me is balance. I'm sounding like Thanos right here. But I know my wife, she's Jamaican and everything. And like, we always joke about her mom, like, oh, what you do to the kids? Beat them. But it wasn't like it's she's not a child abuser or anything like that. I don't want that to be the message that people get from it. But just in Caribbean culture, it's very, very, very spare the rod, spoil the child types thing. So I always saw myself as like kind of providing balance. And my wife doesn't hit the kids either, but yeah, she's definitely the more stern one.
Okay.
And everything. And I'm more of the let's talk it out type thing.
Got you. I got you.
And I mean, I think it's weird. The other night, I had my son, my oldest son, he's 14. He was in bed with me, and he was asking, I was just like, hey, we were just having a talk. And I was like, so is there anything you want to ask me? And I'll do my best to answer it. And he was like, well, no, you pretty much say what's on your mind. So there's nothing that I feel like you're hiding from me. And I was like, I know that's one of my wife's, well, soon to be former wife's beefs and everything, is that she feels like I'm too friendly with them. But I think it takes both. I think, we're talking about, everything in the news with Kwame Brown and all, it's kind of similar in the sense that, sometimes there's going to be people who need a kick in the pants and everything, or sometimes, everybody needs a kick in the pants, but other times you just need to be loved on a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I see myself playing that role with my sons.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really glad. It really does my heart good to hear that, to hear me personally, to have your son say, you don't hide anything from me. That's powerful. That's very powerful, because it's like, to me, it's just like, I know my dad. I can trust my dad. I know my dad will tell me the truth. I know my dad will tell me how I feel. He ain't gonna hide nothing from me. That's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, you emulate either what you see or what you wish you saw.
Yeah.
And everything. And I mean, my dad and I, we had really good conversations when I was younger. And I think that's kind of where it came from for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Exactly. And what you see, what you experience, you emulate. That's very true. I wholeheartedly agree with that, because my parents, they would talk to me all the time. So yeah. I wholeheartedly get that.
I mean, that's part of the friction I had with, because we didn't tell them, the boys, right away that we were going to be splitting up.
Yeah.
And I know for me, one of the things was just, I felt like I was hiding something from them. Like they would call, I can laugh now. I mean, they, like my older son, especially, he would call me Saddy, and he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I can't say nothing because we said we weren't going to tell them yet. So yeah, I'm not Saddy right now.
That's good. That is good. So seeing that your kids, seeing your kids now and how, you know, they trust you, how would you say that forgiveness has affected both your relationship with them and you being a dad?
I think the big thing is, I mean, we are all, we're all sinners. We are all, I think the world in general just needs more grace. And I think if I can forgive myself, if I can forgive people, I'm mindful of who's watching me. And everything. I don't, I mean, it's like you could, the bitterness can destroy you. It can absolutely destroy you. And I don't want my boys to ever be held hostage by bitterness and not processing stuff. So, I mean, that, I think just being mindful, I mean, even as we navigate through this current situation, it's something where you're like, okay, they're seeing how I treat their mother, who is a wonderful person, wonderful mother. And I could not have asked for a better mother to my children. So my hope is that going forward, hopefully this never happens to them. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, let alone my sons.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I just feel like, okay, if it does happen, you still need to always show respect for whoever you chose to marry. If not for that person, then for yourself, because you're not going to be any good if you're at your worst, if you're not expressing forgiveness.
Okay, I believe that. And as you were speaking, two verses dropped in my heart. It said in Romans 3:23, as you said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're right. We all have. And we do need grace. And also when you said let go of the bitterness, that brought up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Yes, sir.
That is honestly, it's all true. Bitterness will destroy you inside. It really will. And when you extend grace to people, not only to others, but to yourself, I believe that's freedom.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I actually think it's harder to extend grace to yourself than it is to other people. Like I said, that's the work I'm doing. It's like just about anybody I can come up with a situation or a scenario where I'm like, okay, well, if I were in that situation, what would I have done differently than they did and all. And by that point, I'm like, I end up giving grace to people. People are probably like, oh yeah, I don't mess with that dude. I mean, yeah. There's only one person and I will not name him that, that really, I just don't see a rationale behind. I can't make a justification for, but
I got you.
Yeah, but I mean, in real life, anybody I know in real life, it's like, nah, I mean, you always assume positive intent and that people are doing the best they can with what they have.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about that struggle that you have when extending grace to yourself? Because I really feel like a lot of people need to hear that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's something where there's nothing that anybody could really say to me that is not something I've said to myself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the things that are bad about me, it's like you tend to magnify those. And I mean, I guess the best example I can think of is I did a workshop a couple of, well, last year at this point. And there were 600 people there. And it was well received. Out of the 600 surveys, like 98% of them were like, this was so informative, thank you, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. The only ones I remember are the ones that made negative comments. And I'm just like, I'm like, dang, what could I have done differently and everything to sway them? And that comes back to the approval piece that I was talking about earlier. It's like intellectually, you know, you can't be everything to everybody, but you also try and strive for perfection. And yeah, that can really mess you up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Ladies and gentlemen, the altar is open for you to drop offerings to Minister Chris right now. Because, yeah, that spoke to me, because there are times where intellectually you're right. You know that you're not going to be liked by people. But it still gets to you emotionally and mentally. It does. Even though you know perfection can't be attained, you still try to go for it. It's crazy how that works.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'll piggyback that. I struggle with that as well, because they're just like, I know better. But I have to remember, I'm still human. I'm still going to fall.
Right.
Just like the verse said, all have sinned and fallen short. Hello. So I applaud you for being honest and still fighting that. Still fighting that. I know you're going to get the victory in it. I know you will.
Hey, the way I see it, though, it's like, I know when I decided to go into coaching, I was like, my life is a mess right now. Why would anybody come to me for coaching? But then I was like, okay, well, do you really want to go to a barber who has never cut hair, or any number of things? It's like, I want somebody who's been through stuff and everything and can empathize from experience.
Yes. Yes. Don't give me no perfect cookie cutter person. I need you to be real with me as I am with you. Like, have you struggled with the same things I've struggled with before? Yes. Have you overcome them? Yes. Good. Help me overcome. Have you overcome the struggles? No, I'm still struggling just like you. Cool. We can learn together.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, don't give me like, have you ever struggled with this before? No, sir. But I can help you. Sir, how can you help me if you don't know what I'm talking about?
You know what? And I can't believe I'm quoting Bob Dole. The king of the obscure quotes here. I mean, to some degree, I'm like, he said, you don't have to look in every trash can and know that there's garbage inside and everything, which can be really limiting. But I don't think you have to have been through, because you know what he say, we coach the person, not the problem.
Right.
To coach the person, you don't necessarily have to have been through what they've been through, but I think it definitely helps with empathy and understanding.
It does. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And empathy is powerful. That's needed now.
Absolutely.
It is needed. It's definitely needed. So I want to ask you now, what does forgiveness mean to you?
That was going to be the intro music. There was a song in the movie Just Friends that came out like 2005.
Is that with Ashton Kutcher?
No, it was Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, I remember that one. I do remember. Oh, Ashton Kutcher, that was Friends with Benefits. I got you. Just Friends. I know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, so the song was Forgiveness. It's so much more than saying sorry. It was meant to be kind of silly and trite, but I was like, that's so true, though, because I know for me, especially like when I was new to relationships and everything, it was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I didn't realize, and I know not every woman, but I mean, I didn't realize that women didn't really like when you said sorry. they just want, I mean, they always say, well, people always say the best apology is change behavior.
Facts.
So, I mean, that's something where you really, you could say sorry without saying sorry. And I mean, I always, that's something I actually trying to teach the boys, because they were like, forgive me for being vulgar, but they'll fart like really loud, nasty, inappropriate timing.
That's not vulgar.
It's boy life, man. It's what it is. And they'll be like, but I said, excuse me. And I'm like, meanwhile, your brother's over there dead on the floor because you. Sorry's not going to bring him back, man.
You know, if you are parents of boys, y'all get it. Y'all get it.
Yeah, I mean, the real talk, and see, you're lucky Tobias is still young. But please know, especially if he has a brother by the time he gets older, number one words in your house will be butt, fart. And, butt and fart. That's pretty much it. I could say that right now. I could put on a show of somebody saying fart all day and they would just crack up.
Oh my gosh. The funny thing about Tobias is he will make a stinker in his diaper. And he'll look at you and just laugh his head off. I'm like, sir.
It starts early.
He just lets it loose. And he just be like, hey. I'm like, sir. Yeah. Really? I love that boy. I really do. I do. It's just.
I was about to embarrass one of my sons, but I will not do that. But yeah, you wait till he starts eating adult food. That's all I got to say, bro.
Yo, I don't even want to think about that at that point. At this point, I really don't, because then I know it's really going to cut loose. Jeez. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I don't even know how we got on farts, man.
We're fathers of boys.
Yeah, that'll
do. We just get there. You know how. You know how you're supposed to, for example, you're supposed to go somewhere, mm-hmm. but your muscle control, like it's muscle memory, you go one way, but your body takes you somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, how did we get at this point? It's just like, well, we here.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
It happens. What is something that you wish that you learned earlier in your journey to forgiveness?
I think that, you know, applying theory to philosophy. Mm. When I was in grad school for psychology, that's another thing I need to forgive myself for. But when I was in grad school for psychology, like, it was outdated already by then, but I was like a big fan of Carl Rogers. And his big thing was unconditional positive regard. And in so many ways, it's found, even though it's not his humanistic approach isn't necessarily used in psychology anymore. It's almost foundational for coaching because, right. I mean, you think of the concept of whole creative being, it's not that different. Than unconditional positive regard. So I say all that to say that I think if I were to say I wish I had known earlier something, it would be just giving people the benefit of the doubt. I think, again, you think of things being as having to be like a certain way to be correct. And there's more than one way. And again, assuming that people are doing their best, that really colors how you look at the world. Although people make it really hard, I always say God has a sense of humor. So as soon as I say this, something ridiculous is going to probably happen, and I'm going to be like, "Thank you, God. I know you're testing me."
It's funny how that works. So for those who don't know, could you tell them what a whole creative being is?
A whole creative being. It's saying that all of us have that whole creative being inside of us. And it is something that is the totality of you. It's you're not. Another pop culture reference for my 80s kids. It's not like the Breakfast Club where, well, it is like the Breakfast Club. We're not avatars of some kind of thing. The nerd, the jock, the debutante, the princess. We are all of those things at once.
Yeah.
And everything, and it depends on what the situation calls for. So yeah. To be a whole creative being is to embrace that. And that's a crucial part of forgiveness, because it's embracing who you are.
Yeah. Yes.
All of who you are.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's a great reference. Great reference. Breakfast Club was an amazing film, by the way. I love
it. Yeah, it was, man. You should have seen me when the beginning of the pandemic, I was doing the 2 and 2 when they were saying we just needed to stay inside for 2 months. And then when people were being hard-headed about wearing masks, it was like, okay, keep on. You're going to end up like Bender in detention for the rest of the 90s.
Yo, oh my gosh, man. Like, that's honestly, the forgiveness in the pandemic, that's a whole episode altogether. It really is. Oh my gosh, that's a whole episode in itself. Last question. What do you wish to impart to the people?
I think the biggest thing is to show the same grace to everybody else that you would want for yourself. So when you see somebody who's being a jerk in McDonald's, it's really easy to just be like, oh, they're a jerk. But you don't know. They might have, there's a backstory there. There's a rich backstory in there that you may not know about. They might just be a jerk. Don't get me wrong, but just try to give people the benefit of the doubt. It's not going to hurt you unless you allow them into an intimate space with you and everything, and it could come back to bite you. So I just say, give people the grace that you would want for yourself.
Amen to that. I want to say thank you again, Chris, for being on here. I appreciate you. I really do, bro. I really do appreciate you. So right now, I want to give you the floor so you can tell everybody what you're doing. Website, social media, coaching, whatever it is, the floor is yours, sir.
I feel like Nasty Nelson from Boomerang. I have total autonomy.
Total autonomy. Go ahead, sir.
All right. So, all right, couple things. One, we're talking about hood. I don't even know when this is gonna air, but I do want to encourage people to check out my fraternity. I'm a member of Alpha Phi Fraternity Incorporated. And while I was president of the chapter several years ago, I started a Father's Day breakfast, and that is still going today. And because of the pandemic, we kind of have a unique opportunity this year in that it's a strictly virtual affair. So we have an essay contest for kids where kids can do essays on their dads and win money. All of that in... we'll have a speaker. I cannot recall who the speaker is at this moment, of course, but we have a speaker. We have an MC. It's going to be virtual. It is free. We are asking for a donation of $20. We do a bunch of different leadership programs. We do scholarship programs to benefit the youth of Prince George's County. So for the info on that, you can go to www.pulcf.org. And that will be taking place on the Saturday before Father's Day. I believe that's June 18th. And in terms of me, if you would like to potentially meet with me or just learn a little bit more about me and what I'm doing, you can go to my website. That's A Family Affair. And my brother is also a coach, and it's on the family business is Making Less Into More, coaching and wellness. And I specialize in a little of everything, have expertise in working with older adults, people around issues like that. And then also, another way you can see me is every Wednesday, at least through the end of July or the beginning of July, we're doing Wisdom Wednesdays. So Dwayne is going to be my guest in what, 3 weeks, I believe?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to chop it up. Another opportunity for you to hear the Chris and Dwayne show. But Wisdom Wednesday is a group coaching thing. So like, let's say you heard about coaching. You're like, I'm not sure if I want to do this. I'm not crazy. I don't need a therapist or whatever. It's like, okay, well, you could dip your toe in the water with this Wisdom Wednesday. We do different topics. This week's topic is going to be my brother and I, Reverend Dr. Kenneth Moore. He and I are going to be talking about how spirituality fits into coaching. Best part of it, it's $1. Each session is, each week is $1. Just trying to get people to get familiar with coaching and everything. And I have a guest coach every week, and we really do some good work over there. So look forward to hearing from y'all. Oh, and if you want to call me, let's say you're old school, you want to call me, you can call me at 888-COACH-ME. What is that? 246? I don't know, but it's 888-COACH-ME. You want to, you can make an appointment with me via phone, or if you want to register for Wisdom Wednesdays, I can take care of you on there as well.
That's amazing. And for y'all that didn't catch that, don't worry. I'm going to put that in the show notes for y'all. Don't worry about it. You know, I'm going to take care of you. And again, man, just thank you. Thank you so much for this, man. Like, really, I appreciate you for doing this. You taking time out of your day to just really do this. Thank you.
You are quite welcome. I really appreciate the opportunity, and it's always a pleasure. And you know what? With you being a new dad, I would love to buy your ticket to the breakfast if you want to come.
Yo, thanks, dude. I appreciate that, man. I'm gonna definitely drop this link, because I'm trying to go.
All right, cool. So I'll take care of it for you. I got your email address and everything.
I appreciate you, man. I really do, man. I appreciate it.
Now, if you could put a crayon in Tobias's hand, they might think a little something's weird and everything, but you could have him enter the essay contest.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm working on his penmanship now. It's going to be dope. Don't worry about it. He'll have a college level essay. It may be in Crayola, but it'll be great. It'll be college level. It'll be
all right. Ah, perfect.
That was a very powerful episode. Oh, that was really good. Forgiving yourself is effective in being a parent, and forgiving things you didn't understand when you were younger. I took notes when he said that. That was really good. I want to thank you, Chris, for coming on the episode and just being open and vulnerable with your story and sharing with us the wisdom you learned when being a dad. And again, for all the new and returning listeners, please leave us a 5-star written review for the podcast. It helps us get more reach. We appreciate you. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power over the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Also, I need your help. I'm enrolled in a coaching program through my local college pursuing a certification in life coaching with the International Coach Federation. As part of the curriculum, I need to reach 100 hours in order to become certified. I'm hoping to connect with individuals who have an interest in being coached and move the needle in their life or needing help in forgiving those who have hurt them. Many people have an interest in moving from where they are to where they want to be, and coaching can be the key that unlocks that potential. I'm asking if you or anyone you know might benefit from coaching to please contact me. I would be happy to chat more about it and be grateful for the help it provides to further my qualification. Also, the first session is free. If you're interested and want to help, click on the link in my bio and schedule a session. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.